I'm pretty sure everyone can relate to a brother or a sister that we have at home. Just lately, I had a brother, and I've had the Judgment Day signs in my car for quite some time. And my brother's never said anything to me about it. But just recently, maybe as the time is getting closer, maybe he's getting a little uneasy about it. He said to me that no man could know the day or the hour, which is typical of most people of the world. And I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a little detour from my study, but I wanted to bring this out because, you know, I have a brother. He doesn't really study the Word of God. He doesn't show any appearance of being saved. And it's just something that I've been thinking about, and I wanted to point this out in the studies. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen or heard, I have not seen or ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And that phrase, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, that was one of the things that I thought of when my brother said that we could know the things of God pertaining to end time things. And as we read on, it says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And God is instructing us that no man knows the things of God, but God reveals these things to us through the Holy Spirit. And I tried to emphasize that to my brother. I tried to say, no man knows the things of God, but God reveals things to us through the Holy Spirit. And we're in that time where God is opening up the scriptures, like he talked about in Daniel 12, when Daniel wanted to know about end time things. And God said, Daniel, go thy way, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And God is revealing many things to us in this day, in this time. Okay, let's go to Revelation 14:7. And we'll begin our study. Revelation 14:7. There we read, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. God is saying in his verse that we ought to fear God. And when I searched this word fear out, it has to do with being afraid. And many other verses is used in the context of being afraid. God says we ought to give glory to him. And how do we give glory to God? We honor and praise God through our obedience. And as God is working in us, like he says in Philippians 2:13, I believe, which says, God worketh in us to do of his good will and pleasure. Let's go to Matthew 14:7, where the word fear is used in a different context, but it illustrates to be afraid. Matthew 14:27, excuse me. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, It is I, be not afraid. That's the same Greek word, fear. For fear, I believe, is translated phobia in the Greek. Let's go to Matthew 28, verse 6 through 10. Matthew 28. This is a story about Mary Magdalene as she went to see the body of Jesus. And in verse 6, she says, He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples. And as they went to tell his disciples, Jesus met them, saying, All hail, and they came and behold him by the feet, and worshiped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. There again we see the same Greek word that's translated for fear. Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So in these verses, God is illustrating the word fear, I mean, which is not a bad thing to be afraid. And God's people will fear God, will initiate an action in their life. We will see an action in our life. Let's look at Luke 12:4. Luke 12:4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. That same Greek word, be not afraid. Okay, God's people, God puts a fear in his people in this time of great tribulation. God puts a fear in his people where there are a lot of things seen in their life. God's people are going on track trips. They're sounding the trumpet, as Ezekiel 33 says. They're sounding the trumpet. God's people have a fear that God has put in them, and we'll see as a result of God putting his fear in them, we'll see that they'll show an obedience to God. Let's go to Jeremiah 32, verse 40. We'll see where God talks about the fear that he puts in his people. Jeremiah 32, 40. And God says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. See, we see that fear that God puts in his people. God puts a fear in his people that God talks about that he will not depart from us. He will put a fear in our hearts that we would do what he would have us to do. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. And we'll see the story about Abraham when he went to offer up his son Isaac. And it's verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. The word tempt is test. Tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And I'm not going to read through all the accounts. We'll go to verse 11. And it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and he said, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. And God had instructed Abraham to offer his son Isaac up for a sacrifice. And Isaac took the knife, and he was ready to plunge it into his son. And we see here that God sent an angel, and he instructed Abraham not to lay thy hand upon that lad. And God said that now I know that thou fearest God, because Abraham was obedient. He was obedient to God. And it says in verse 18, God said to Abraham, In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The true believers are obeying the word of God. They are acting in obedience to God. And there are some accounts when the true believers are not obeying God, and we see God chastens them, like he did David. He chastened Jonah, which flee from God to Tarshish. He fleed as far away as possible. And we read about those accounts of how Jonah offered himself to be thrown overboard. And I believe that was God's way of chastening Jonah. In the accounts of David, David suffered great chastisement when he committed fornication, God chastened him. And then David, he repented. And we know the story of David, who was a child of God, because he repented. Let's go to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verse 12 through 21. And the Lord and Jehovah hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as Jehovah had spoken unto Moses. And before I move on, this verse, many people read this verse, and it says, and Jehovah hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And many people try to use this verse to say that God caused Pharaoh to sin. But by nature, mankind is in rebellion against God, and God restrained sin in mankind. But God could also lift his hand of restraint off of man, and by nature man wants to sin. So we see here we're talking about God hardening the heart of Pharaoh. We know that God didn't cause Pharaoh to sin. So I just wanted to point that out, because some people read that verse and they think that God caused Pharaoh to sin. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as Jehovah had spoken unto Moses. And Jehovah said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus saith Jehovah God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues into thy heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show thee in my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And we see in this verse God is saying that he raised Pharaoh up, that he may be declared throughout all the earth, that he may be glorified. And God raises people up. He's raised E-Bible up. He's raised Family Radio up to use for his own purpose, and that he may be glorified. And as yet exalteth thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time will I cause to rain a very grievous hell, such as such as have not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. And verse 18, what do we see in verse 18? We see time and judgment. Many people say that we can't know time and judgment, and God has illustrated that all throughout the Bible. In Genesis, when he told Noah, and yet 7 days, I will destroy every living substance off the face of this earth. Here he's saying, behold, today, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hell, such as have not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even till now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hell shall come down upon them, and they shall die. Verse 20, he that feared the word of Jehovah among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the house, and he that regarded not the word of Jehovah left his servants and his cattle in the field. And we see that he that feared had his servants to flee, but there were some that had not regard to the Lord's word. And we see that as we read on, we'll see that God rained hell down on them. Verse 24. So there was hell and fire mingled with hell, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hell smoked throughout all the land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hell smote every herb of the field and break every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hell. I looked at these verses, verse 20 and 21, where it says, he that feared the word of Jehovah among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. I was trying to find some evidence that these people were saved. And it says that they feared the Lord, but I couldn't find any evidence that suggested that they were saved people, because they were servants of Pharaoh. And I looked to try to find if there was any evidence that they were saved people, and I wasn't able to find it. Let's go to read another account of God's people who trust in God and they have a fear of God, where they trust in God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verses 2-4. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria, and behold, they be in Hazantamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek Jehovah and proclaimed a fast throughout all the land. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of Jehovah. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek Jehovah. And we see it's a great multitude that was coming against Judah. And Jehoshaphat, he feared. And the first thing he did was he looked to the Lord for help. And in our times of trouble, I believe that spiritually God is letting us know that we go to God in our times of trouble. We'll see that... And in preceding verses, verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that thou cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. See, Jehoshaphat is he's trusting in the Lord that the Lord will deliver them. He's saying, we have no might against this great company that that come against us. And we'll see in verse 15, God says, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith Jehovah unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And I know we all familiar with that song, that the battle is not ours, it's yours. And God is showing us that here, God says the battle is not yours, but God. And we'll see that this great multitude that was coming against Judah, we'll see that Jehoshaphat and all the people of Judah, they didn't have to lift a hand. God says in verse 17, it says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. And set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of Jehovah with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for Jehovah will be with you. And we'll go to verse 20, where it talks about how God delivered them. He said, ambushments against, let's see, verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, Jehovah set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And we see we as true believers, as we go out into the world and spread the gospel, sometimes we might feel like there's a lot that's battling against us, but we know we can always go to the Lord, and that we don't have to lift a finger. God will fight our battles for us. And he teaches us that the battle is not ours, it's his. Let's go to Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschewed is depart. It's the same word that's used in Job 28:28. Let's go to Job 28:28. That word eschewed is the same word that's used. Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of Jehovah, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And God gives us a biblical definition for the fear of God, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And I have another verse that's somewhat in the same context of Job 28:28. And let's see. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Okay. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Similar context, the fear of God is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Somewhat similar context. There are great blessings in the lives of true believers that are obedient to God, and they're faithful to God's word through God working through them. Let's look at a couple. Psalm 115, verse 13. He will bless them that fear Jehovah, both small and great. See, God gives us assurances that His people will be blessed. Those that fear Him, and God has put that fear in Him, in those people, and the people that that are His. God has put the fear in them. Let's go to Psalm 145:19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. So God's people, God's going to move in His people, and God's people will cry out to Him, and God will save them. Let's go to, pretty sure we're all familiar with the accounts of Noah in Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, by faith. And we know Christ is faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. And that word fear has to do he moved carelessly, not carelessly, but he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. We see that Noah, he moved with fear. Noah understood that which was going on. He received a message from God, and an action was seen in his life. Noah built the ark, and Noah was warning people. As we know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. We can know that Noah was warning people. But it says he moved with fear. And as a true believer, we should be moving with the same fear that Noah was moving with. We should be like the ant. We should like the ant and not the sluggard, which is that word sluggard is slothful or lazy. We should be like the ant. We should be busy handing out tracts, doing whatever we can. And God's people are going to do that because God is going to move in them. And God is going to accomplish His will. God is going to will them to do the things that He wants them to do. I'm going to close with reading Revelation 7 again. 14:7. I'm going to close with that verse. Revelation 14:7. I'll read the verse before that, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And we are in that time of great tribulation, where God is commanding us to spread His gospel and to all nations, kindreds, and tongues. And God is using a lot of means, shortwave radio. He's using the internet, and His people are busy. People are putting signs on their cars. People are doing a lot of things. And God is magnifying the smallest thing. And we know that God's will be accomplished. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Father, that Thou hast given us Thy word, and that we are to turn away from our foot from doing our own pleasures on this day, and that we will delight in the Sabbath. And Father, we pray that that today is a day of salvation, and we pray that Thou art, and Thou will continue to open up the spiritual eyes of many that are not saved, if any that are here that are not saved, that Thou, if it be Thy good will and pleasure, that Thou would open up their spiritual eyes. And we pray, Father, as we leave here and everyone's on their journey back home, we pray that Thou will keep everyone safe, and we pray that Thy will be done. We pray that it is that Thee that we trust in, and we trust not in our own understanding, but is that Thee that we trust in, and that we pray that for our fellow man, we pray for our government, and any of those that are in darkness, may it be, Father, that they will be hid from the day of the Lord's anger. Father, in Christ's name, pray. Amen.